Today we will learn about the Gnostics. These false teachers raise the question, can we truly know Jesus without regularly being physically present with other Christians in a local church? The question basically is, summarized, do we have to go to church as Christians? Is that part of the Christian life? Is there a reason to be physically present in church with other Christians in fellowship with them? Their answer is that, yes, we can know Jesus without being physically present with other Christians in a local church. They say a resounding yes to that. You can be saved without that. Their argument is that salvation, knowing God, is a spiritual reality where we are saved by a personal relationship with God. You probably heard that before. And therefore, what we do with our physical bodies is relatively unimportant, they argue. Thus, their conclusion, whether or not we regularly spend time in physically present fellowship with believers, we are saved purely by a spiritual faith. They conclude that the physical world around us ultimately has nothing to do with Christianity. They say that love for other believers in a way that lays down our lives for each other in physical fellowship as part of the local church is not a necessary fruit of the Christian life. They even argue a false understanding of who Jesus Christ is in order to justify their separation from the church body and their lifestyle of sinful behavior that they live. The foundation of their false teaching is that the physical acts of Jesus as a human man, saying Jesus the man, were not necessary for the work of salvation that God did as a spiritual Messiah to save Christians. They separate Jesus the man from the Messiah, the Christ, who is spiritual in nature. By separating the man Jesus from the person of God, they deny that the physical world has anything to do with Christianity and deny many core truths of the true gospel. They say that Jesus is not the Christ. They say that he was not a physical being, the Christ, and therefore Jesus is not the Son of God. That's the basis for their idea that the physical man, Jesus, and what he did was not important for the spiritual work of the Messiah as God. And going to the cross was simply for show, as the spiritual Christ left Jesus the man to die on the cross. This is the ultimate fruit of their teaching, but the most essential part is that the physical world does not matter for the Christian, so being physically present with other believers is not important. This is what these false teachers teach, and it is directly contradictory to the teaching of Jesus and the apostles in the Word of God. This is false teaching from false teachers and should be rejected. Matthew 7:15 through 20, which we have looked at each week, as we looked at the false teachers. We will review it again. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets or false teachers who come to you in sheep's clothing, so they come in the name of Christian teaching. They claim to be Christians. They teach things that they say are from the Bible, from the Word of God. But Jesus says they are inwardly ravenous wolves. They don't intend to point to Jesus Christ. They instead intend to puff up themselves, puff up their own pride, teach things that are false so that they might be exalted and not Jesus. You will recognize them by their fruits," Jesus said. "Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" Jesus is saying, you can't gather grapes from thorns. You can't gather figs from thistles. You can't get the good fruit by going to a false source, a fake source. Jesus says, so every healthy tree bears good fruit. So the true teachers, there's good fruit coming from them. But the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Jesus says a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. So if there's true teaching, a true gospel, then it will not bear bad fruit in the end. Nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Though there might seemingly be something good coming out of the false teachers and their teaching, in the end it will not bear good fruit. Jesus says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. These false teachers and those who truly believe their teaching are headed into the fire of hell. Thus, we must reject them and protect those in our lives from their teaching, because it leads not to salvation, but to hell. Jesus says, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Almost all scholars agree that the Apostle John wrote in his epistles, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, to warn about the false teaching of Gnosticism. Gnosticism, like other kinds of false teaching, is a very complicated false system of beliefs. And you might say, I don't know anyone who calls themselves a Gnostic. There's not many around today. So is this even relevant for us today? Yet there were specific teachings that concerned the Apostle John. He was warning the church about these Gnostic false teachers. These false teachings are still taught by false teachers today. In Gnostic teaching, you can be spiritually saved from the wrath of God, going to heaven without any change in your physical life. According to this teaching, there can be no holiness in your life, no love for other Christians, no obedience to Christ's commandments, a love for the desires and sinfulness of the world, and yet ultimate salvation. The Apostle John wrote this whole letter to combat these Gnostic false teachers who loved the sinful, satanic world system and displayed hatred for the church. They taught that it did not matter for the Christian whether or not you experienced sanctification or growth in holiness. Power to defeat sin, that didn't matter according to them, and growth to be more and more like Jesus Christ in this life. The separation of spiritual and physical led to a counterfeit Christian life that ultimately leads to condemnation and hell for someone who professes to be a Christian. The Apostle John called these false teachers liars and said that they had no truth in them at all. He said that these false teachers were blinded by darkness and that the love of the Father was not in them. The Apostle John said that those who teach these things are from the world and not from Christ. These teachings of a separation between spiritual salvation and a changed physical way of living in the Christian life persist even today, 2,000 years later. The true gospel is compromised when these false teachers are accepted by those in the church. So let's go to our text. Let us pray first. Dear Lord, Father, I pray that we would see the error of these false teachers and see how having a physical obedience, a real obedience with our bodies, Father, the actual physical world is necessary in order to show evidence of our faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, faith itself is not simply just a spiritual thing. Faith works through our physical bodies. We show and demonstrate our faith by what we do physically in our lives, where we go, how we serve. All the physical reality around us that we live in, Father, it cannot be separated from the salvation that we have spiritually, Father. I pray that we would see this through the Apostle John's warnings in this book of 1 John, Father. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. And I will say, the whole book of 1 John, every word of it, is addressing these false teachers and their false teaching. So I will only go through a small part of chapter 2 today, but definitely read through the whole book of 1 John and 2 John and 3 John as well to understand this message of these false teachers and what the Apostle John is saying about it. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, he starts off with affection for the church that he is writing to. I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. He doesn't want us to sin. But if anyone does sin, because we will sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation meaning that he bears the wrath of God in our place and satisfies that wrath as we believe in him, so that we do not have to bear that wrath ourselves. Thus, that is a propitiation. He propitiated our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Every tongue, tribe, nation, and people has the offer of salvation in Jesus Christ. The whole world can believe and be saved in Jesus Christ. Point number one. John's affection and love for those he writes to is clear. He writes to us to warn us about false teachers. He does not want us to sin. However, when we do struggle with sin, Jesus Christ has lived for us a righteous life, and he advocates, he tells the Father about his righteous life for us. To the Father, he advocates his righteous life for all who believe in him. He has also propitiated or taken the punishment for the sins of all who believe in him from every nation in the world. Point number one, John's affection and love for those he writes to is clear. He writes to us to warn us about false teachers. He does not want us to sin. When we do struggle with sin, Jesus Christ has lived for us a righteous life, and he advocates to the Father his righteous life for all who believe in him. He has also propitiated or taken the punishment for the sins of all who believe in him from every nation in the world. The Apostle John starts with the true gospel. He wants us to know the true gospel as opposed to the false gospel that these false teachers were teaching. And what is the message that the Apostle John teaches here? We have sinned. We continue to struggle with sin. But Jesus became a man. Jesus the man. Who is Jesus the Messiah? Jesus the Christ. He is actually God himself. These false teachers denied that Jesus is God, that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. He became a physical man, an actual man that the disciples who were with him, they could touch his hand. They could touch his shoulder. They could touch him. He was physically there. And then he lived a perfect, righteous, physical life. He actually lived in the real world with an actual body. His body suffered tiredness and pain. And though we don't know if he was sick, it is possible that he might have gotten sick. He shed tears, actual tears, when his friend Lazarus died. He shed tears of blood before he went to the cross. And he lived this perfect, righteous, holy, sinless life as a physical man so that when we trust in him, we receive his spiritual righteousness as our own, the righteousness he earned in his physical life. And then he physically went to the cross, not just as the man Jesus, but also as God, as the Son of God, as the Messiah, as Christ, and he died on the cross a physical death. Why did he need to die physically? Because the punishment that God poured out on him was not simply just spiritual, but also the physical punishment of hell that we deserve. He took it in our place on that cross so that we would not have to if we trust in him for it, if we believe in him for it. And then he rose from the dead after he died. When he rose from the dead, he did not just rise in a spiritual sense, though we too rise with him in a spiritual sense when we trust in him, but he rose physically with a new physical body that was free from sin and death. And one day, when we go to be with him, we will be physically with him, with a new physical body that is like his. And right now, where is Jesus? Is he just a spiritual member of the Trinity? No, he still has a physical body in heaven, stands before the Father, interceding for us with physical speech. He speaks out loud and intercedes for us with the Father. That is why the Apostle John says that he advocates to the Father his own righteousness with actual words. He propitiated with an actual physical body. He bore the wrath. So these false teachers deny the gospel itself because they do not believe that the physical world matters at all, and that only the spiritual salvation they say they have is necessary. 1 John 2, 3 and 4. And by this we know that we have come to know him, Jesus, if we keep his, Jesus's, commandments. Whoever says, they say, these false teachers say, I know him, but does not keep his commandments. What does the Apostle John say? He says they are a liar. They're a liar. They don't know him. And the truth is not in this liar, this false teacher, this false Christian. They know that the only way for you to know him is if you show evidence of knowing him by keeping his commandments. Point number two. All Christians will keep Christ's commandments. This is how they know that they know Jesus. The false teachers that John is warning about teach that the true Christian does not need to keep Christ's commandments. John tells us that those who say they know Christ but do not keep his commandments are liars. There is no truth in these false teachers' false gospel. Point number two. All true Christians will keep Christ's commandments. This is how they know that they know Jesus. The false teachers that John is warning about teach that the true Christian does not need to keep Christ's commandments. John tells us that those who say they know Christ but do not keep his commandments are liars. There is no truth in these false teachers' false gospel. Obedience to Christ's commandments requires that we know his word and actually seek to obey it. So we need knowledge. These Gnostics, they're also called those who have knowledge. That's what they claim. They need knowledge. We need knowledge. We need to know what God has said. But knowledge by itself does not give evidence of salvation. We might know a lot. We might know a lot about God's word. Knowledge in our head. But you see, Satan himself knows the word of God very well. He quoted it to Jesus in Matthew 4. But Satan does not seek to obey it. Applying God's word in actual, physical, real situations is evidence of salvation. These false teachers taught that as long as someone makes a confession of faith in Christ, I know him, then we must accept that they are Christians. But Jesus and the apostles taught that real love of Jesus resulted in real obedience to his commandments. If there is no real obedience, then the person is a liar, the text says. This was not purely personal and inwardly focused, asking, am I a liar? No, that's not what John is getting at. The teaching of the Word of God is that as Christians, we can evaluate the testimony of others. That's the point. That's why the Apostle John is saying this, because he wants us to recognize these false Christians that are spreading a false message. The Apostle John wanted us to recognize these false teachers and those who followed their false teaching. 1 John 2:18 through 19 gives us an idea about this. He says, children, being affectionate again, because he loves them, it is the last hour. He simply meant after Jesus' death on the cross, all the time after it is the last hour. It's the last time, because when Jesus comes back to judge the world, the hour is over. And as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. He's referring to the Antichrist here. But he says, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour because these Antichrists, these false teachers, have come. What does he say about them? He says, they went out from us. They left the church, but they were not of us. They were not truly part of the church. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. They would have stayed with the church. In this case, the local church that he is speaking of. But they went out. They left the local church, that it might become plain, so we would know for sure that they all are not of us. They're not Christians. The Antichrist that the Apostle John talked about here were not world-shaking political figures who disrupted the fabric of society, but people who profess or said they were Christians, but they did not obey Christ's commandments, and they had left the fellowship of the Christians who did obey him. The false teachers of a counterfeit Christian life did not teach any distinction between the true Christian and the world around them. John 14 in the Gospel of John, also written by the Apostle John, 15 through 17, Jesus said, if you love me, if we love Jesus, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The helper is the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, even the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth, at whom the world cannot receive. The world can't receive the Holy Spirit because it neither sees the Holy Spirit nor knows the Holy Spirit. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Point number three, anyone who loves Jesus will keep his commandments. The reason that the believer can keep Christ's commandments is that he will send them the Holy Spirit. The world cannot obey his commandments because they have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit who dwells in the heart of Christians. Point number three, anyone who loves Jesus will keep his commandments. The reason that the believer can keep Christ's commandments is that he will send them the Holy Spirit. The world cannot obey his commandments because they have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit who dwells in the heart of Christians. And all of Christ's commandments are summed up in two commandments: to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. While both of these require the spiritual power of the Holy Spirit and require his spiritual work in our heart, neither can be obeyed without physical actions. One way obedience to these commandments is demonstrated is by physically laying down your life for other believers day by day, week by week, in church fellowship. This is not just an occasional act of service to your family or to a friend. Keeping Christ's commandments is a new way of life for the Christian. 1 John 2, verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Point number 4. The true Christian is able to keep Christ's word as the love of God grows in them, being perfected over time. The work of the Spirit imparts or gives to us his righteousness, sanctifying us over time. The false teachers of a counterfeit Christian life teach that believers will not grow in obedience to the Word of God, and that obedience is not a fruit of the Christian life. Point number 4. The true Christian is able to keep Christ's word as the love of God grows in them, being perfected over time. The work of the Spirit imparts or gives his righteousness to us, sanctifying us over time. The false teachers of a counterfeit Christian life teach that believers will not grow in obedience to the Word of God, and that obedience is not a fruit of the Christian life. 1 John 2, verses 5 and 6. By this is how we know. By this we may know that we are in Christ. Whoever says he abides in him. So we're saying we're a Christian. We're saying we abide in him. The person who says that ought to walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. Point number 5. The way in which a Christian knows that they are in Christ is by his work in us to cause us to walk in the same way which he did. True Christians will grow to follow Jesus' commands, reflecting his obedience to the Word of God. There is no salvation without the changing power of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. These false teachers teach otherwise. Point number 5. The way in which a Christian knows they are in Christ is by his work in us to cause us to walk in the same way in which he did. True Christians will grow to follow Jesus' commands, reflecting his obedience to the Word of God. There is no salvation without the changing power of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. These false teachers teach otherwise. And how did Jesus walk? He walked in a way which loved and served others in a real, tangible way. He walked in real, physical obedience to God. He had a real physical body and actually laid it down in service to others. There was no counterfeit life with Jesus. Every moment he lived was in service to his Father and to others. Every moment he lived. That is our goal, not to do less for others and to spend more time by ourselves, but to live as Jesus lived, to spend every moment serving the people that he loved, his disciples. 1 John 2:7. Beloved, the Apostle John uses loving language. He has affection for those in the local church. I, John, am writing to you no new commandment. It's not new, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. Since the beginning of time, God's command was to love your brother, love your neighbor. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. They had heard this already many times. Point number 6. Nothing that John said should be ultimately new to Christians. The commandment to love one another was taught by God from the beginning of creation. Jesus taught that his disciples would love one another. The false teachers of a counterfeit Christian life taught that it was not necessary to love other Christians. Point number 6. Nothing that John said should be ultimately new to Christians. The commandment to love one another was taught by God from the beginning of creation. Jesus taught that his disciples would love one another. The false teachers of a counterfeit Christian life taught that it was not necessary to love other Christians. Not in a real way. They taught that, you know, you could have fuzzy feelings, but you didn't have to physically serve your brothers and sisters in Christ. You didn't have to be physically present with them in the church, because the physical world to them was not anything to do with the spiritual world. It was separate. So you didn't have to love, not in the way that the Apostle John and Jesus are commanding us to, because the physical doesn't matter, they said. John 15:12-14, again from the Gospel of John, Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So they are to love one another just as Jesus had loved them, physically present. That was how Jesus loved them. They were to love each other in the same way. That was his commandment. And he explains it. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Actually, physically laying down your life for your friends. And then he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." So you're only Christians, you're only Jesus' friend, if you love one another as he has loved you. That is what Jesus is saying. Point number 7. The Christian who loves Christ will show their love for him by loving other Christians. They will lay down their life for other Christians. The false teachers of a counterfeit Christian life teach that there is no need for real Christian fellowship in the Christian life. They taught that having a spiritual relationship with Christ does not require having physically present relationships with other Christians. Point number 7. The Christian who loves Christ will show their love for him by loving other Christians. They will lay down their life for other Christians. The false teachers of a counterfeit Christian life teach that there is no need for real Christian fellowship in the Christian life. They taught that having a spiritual relationship with Christ does not require having physically present relationships with other Christians. Gnostic false teaching says that there is no need to be in regular physical fellowship with other Christians because salvation is purely spiritual. These false teachers tell people that coming to church for physically present fellowship is optional because your salvation is just between you and God. But Jesus and the apostles taught that no true Christian will ever be satisfied without regular physical means to lay down their life for other Christians. Your heart will change because of the work of the Holy Spirit, and you won't be satisfied with loving from a distance, whatever that means. And if someone says they are satisfied without the regular physical fellowship in the church, their salvation is not real. That's what the Apostle John is saying. They have to love. Real Christianity is a physically present Christianity that is lived out in a real physical world with real physical obedience. And this has become a very serious problem in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. The distinction between physical and spiritual has been blurred, and many professing Christians have relegated the relationship to the church to an online environment where it is not necessary to physically lay down your life in love for other people in the church. Very well-meaning, some of the people that believe that, but that is contradictory to what it teaches in 1 John. This is a Gnostic way of thinking. It's a Gnostic way of looking at Christianity and must be rejected. Why? When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he used his physical hands. There was real water. He washed the dirt off of their feet. It was real and physical. When Jesus calmed the storm, the physical storm, the rain and the torrential wind and all of that, he was really in the boat with him. He experienced the storm with them and he calmed it with them. When he walked on the crashing waves in a different storm, the waves crashing and the wind blowing, he held out a real physical hand to Peter, to the apostle Peter, and said, "Come to me, I will catch you." He was really there with them, physically there. Gnosticism denies all that, that God was actually there in the Son, Jesus Christ, with his disciples. Jesus came as a real man to demonstrate real love to real people. This is the way of the true Christian life. And these false teachers deny that. 1 John 2, verses 8 and 9. At the same time, the Apostle John says, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in Jesus and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Point number 8. The commandment to love was new because previously there was no inner indwelling work of the Spirit in the heart of a believer. The work of Christ defeats darkness in the Christian heart. If someone says that they have love in their heart, yet hates others by not laying down their life in fellowship with others in the church, they are still in darkness. The false teachers taught that there was no physical fellowship necessary for the Christian. Point number 8. The commandment to love was new because previously there was no inner work, an indwelling work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of a believer. The work of Christ defeats darkness in the Christian heart. If someone says they have love in their heart, yet hates others by not laying down their life in fellowship with others in the church, they are still in darkness. The false teachers taught that there was no physical fellowship necessary for the Christian. 1 John 2:10 and 11. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Point number 9. Those who love the church abide in Jesus Christ by not causing stumbling. Those who show no desire to lay down their lives for Christians in the church are not Christians at all if they have no desire. False teachers were saying true physical fellowship with the church is unimportant in the Christian life because spiritual salvation comes separately from physical fellowship. This directly contradicts the teaching of Jesus and the apostles. Point number 9. Those who love the church abide in Jesus Christ by not causing stumbling. Those who show no desire, none at all, to lay down their lives for other Christians in the church are not Christians at all. False teachers were saying true physical fellowship with the church is unimportant in the Christian life because spiritual salvation comes separately from physical fellowship. This directly contradicts the teaching of Jesus and the apostles. The Apostle John emphasizes this love for other believers, that it is in the light as opposed to in the darkness. This is because these physical works of love that the true Christian does are done within the fellowship of the church and can be clearly seen by everyone. These false teachers and those who follow them hide in the darkness outside the fellowship and spread their lies. True Christian teachers and true Christians remain in the fellowship of the church, and everyone in the church fellowship can clearly see the love that they have for other Christians. 1 John 2:15. The Apostle John said, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Point number 10. The Christian is commanded not to love the world. John says that anyone who truly loves the world does not have the love of the Father. The false teachers taught that a Christian can have fellowship with the world, be involved with sinful practices, and still be saved. They said that spiritual salvation can be separated from physical obedience to God. Point number 10. The Christian is commanded not to love the world. John says that anyone who truly loves the world does not have the love of the Father. The false teachers taught that a Christian can have fellowship with the world. And you'll notice, not with the church, with the world. Be involved with sinful practices and still be saved. They said that spiritual salvation can be separated from physical obedience to God. 1 John 2:16, just two more points. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Point number 11. All the sin that is in the world must be avoided by the true Christian. The false teachers taught that fleshly desires, covetous looking, along with many forms of pride, are acceptable for a Christian. But the Apostle John warns that all these things do not come from the work of God in the heart of a true Christian. Point number 11. All the sin that is in the world must be avoided by the true Christian. The false teachers taught that fleshly desires, covetous looking, along with many forms of pride, are acceptable for a Christian. But the Apostle John warns that all these things do not come from the work of God in the heart of a true Christian. These things are not from the Father, but are from the world, he says. Last point, last verse. 1 John 2:17. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Point number 12. John warns that the world is passing away and that the sinful desires are not part of the Christian life. Only those who seek to do the will of God from his word will ultimately abide forever in eternal life. The false teaching that there is a separation between spiritual salvation and physical obedience leads to a counterfeit Christian life that does not provide evidence of true faith in Jesus Christ. Point number 12. John warns that the world is passing away and that the sinful desires are not part of the Christian life. Only those who seek to do the will of God from his word will ultimately abide forever in eternal life. The false teaching that there is a separation between spiritual salvation and physical obedience leads to a counterfeit Christian life that does not provide evidence of true faith in Jesus Christ. And if there is no evidence, then John says that you are a liar if you say you know him, but there's no evidence. Application. Point number one. I'll only say these once because they're already filled in. The false teachers that the Apostle John was warning about believed in a distinction between spiritual salvation and physical obedience. They taught that obedience to Christ's commandments and love for other believers in the fellowship of the church were both unnecessary as evidence of true faith in Jesus. Furthermore, love for the world and sinful desires were taught as acceptable in a true Christian's life. All these teachings are directly in contradiction to the teachings of Jesus and the apostles. They result in a different gospel which cannot save. Do not believe the message of the counterfeit Christian life. Do not believe it, reject it, hate it, in fact. Hate this message because it is not true. In 2 John, verses 9 through 11, the Apostle John tells us what to do if someone who is a Gnostic approaches us. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. He's saying they're not a Christian. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, the true gospel, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Don't have anything to do with these false teachers and those who truly believe in their false teaching. Application number two. There are many teachers, even today, who teach that someone can be a real Christian without the sanctifying work of the Spirit in their life. Do not just simply reject their message, but also protect yourself, your family, your friends, your church, and others by not having anything to do with these false teachers. Avoid them. Romans 16:17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught, the doctrine being teaching. Avoid them or stay away from them. Let us pray. Dear Father, we have looked at false teachers in general at the end of the book of Romans. That was the first of five sermons in this series. Father, we have looked at four different types of false teachings, Father, and the teachers who teach them. Father, all of these teachings are contradictory, not just to the Word of God, but to the gospel itself. They are heresy, meaning if you truly believe in them, you cannot be a Christian, Father. So I pray that we would reject these teachings and protect ourselves against these false teachers, Father. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Richard, for this fourth part of a false teaching that you have illuminated us about, and a clear warning of the counterfeit Christian life of the Gnostic belief.